our call to worship, I was real glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Lord, I have loved thy habitation, the place where thy honor dwelleth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. A new song, for he has done marvelous things. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All the earth sing praises. Our hymn of praise this morning is Victory is Mine. Victory is Mine.
Victory is mine.
Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, with me I. Victory today is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. And peace gets more important as you get older. Trust me. This time I'm going to ask you, Mr. Jackson, to come and bless us with prayer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us all go before God and prepare our hearts for prayer. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for this day that you've made. We shall rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. We call you our God. We call you our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, for you are the great I Am, Lord God. Lord God, you're the bright and morning star, Lord Jesus. You're our healer. You're our comforter. You're our way maker, Lord God. You're the supplier of all of our needs, Lord Jesus. And so we just thank you on today, Lord God, for all you've done for us and for all you want to continue to do. I ask, Lord God, that you will be a part of this service, Lord, and that you would have your way like never before, that you would meet every need right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray that you will manifest blessings right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever your people stand in need of, God, I pray that you will fix it right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the deliverance that's going to take place. We thank you for the healing that's going to take place. For your word said that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. And so we thank you, Lord God, for loosing us on today, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray that you would just continue to have your way in the hearts of your people, Lord. I pray that you would provide them with peace in their minds, Lord Jesus. And so we thank you and we declare it so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
This time we're going to have our young people come and read our scriptures for this morning. And I owe them an apology. I actually changed the scripture for what they received earlier in the week. So, I'm going to make sure. Good morning.
The scripture reading for the Old Testament scripture reading for today is Micah chapter 7, verse 14 through 17. Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, which lives by itself in a forest, in fertile pasture lands. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in days long ago, as in the days when you came out of Egypt, I will show them my wonders. Nations will see and be ashamed, deprived of all their power. They will put their hands over their mouths, and their ears will become deaf. They will lick dust like a snake, like creatures that crawl on the ground. They will come trembling out of their dens. They will turn in fear to the Lord our God and will be afraid of you.
Amen. In our New Testament reading,
Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. Okay. But only the one who does that will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on the day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me.
Amen. Amen. From all that dwells.
Let thy creator's praise arise. Let thy redeemer's name be sung through every land and by every tongue.
Summary of the Decalogue. Hear what Christ our Savior says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Church Universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and we'll have another selection from our choir.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart be lonely and long? For heaven and home, when Jesus, my friend, is he? His eye is on the sparrow. Give place to sighing when hope within me die. I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His arm is on the stirrup, and I know he watches me, and I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His light is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I say, because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Oh, he's on, he's on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Oh, his eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Yes, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Lord, his eyes is on the sparrow.
Something you just heard. Good morning, New Live. It is good to see everybody here this morning. Glad we all made it safely. This is the time where we recognize our visitors and our guests. So we don't have any first-time visitors, but we do have special guests. So could our guests please stand? I've never met you before, but I'd like to know who you are, as if I don't know. Where is that? Amen. We're glad to have you here. And we, again, owe you a large debt of gratitude. You are always kind and generous and helping us. So we need to be a blessing to you, too. Yeah, I know. But still, we appreciate all that you do and continue to do for us. So thank you. And we've met this young lady before, but still. And we're glad to have you. Amen. Okay. Mama, you don't want to stand up. You, in the midst of all your, let me tell you why I say that. I know that. But I say that because my grandmother had four grandchildren. And we lived for her. And she lived for us. And I remember my grandmother was maybe, I don't know if she was five, was she 5 feet? She may have been 5 feet tall. But my grandmother just loved her grandchildren. So it was my sister and three boys. I'm the shortest of the three boys. And I remember like getting on the elevator with my grandmother. She lived in a senior citizens building. And so the older people would get on the elevator and we would be standing behind my grandmother. And they would get on the elevator and they would look up and go, wow. And my grandmother would be sitting so proud. Just like I see you sitting with your three boys. That's why I wanted you to stand up, because I know what it's like to be proud of your grandchildren. And I'm just looking at your face. And so I just wanted everybody to see you one more time. That's all. We're glad to have you here. So, New Live, let's go welcome our visitors like we should. Amen? And be thankful. So on behalf of all the officers, members, and friends of New Liberation, we just want to come out and greet you. Merci. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. I'm sorry. Thank you so much. Think of my grandbaby. What happened to your shoe? Oh, okay. Your shoe came off?
Shoe.
Okay, well, let's put your shoe back. Okay. All right. That's my job at home. Amen. All right, this morning, just a few announcements. One, next Sunday, Well, no, after church today, Minister Jackson, would you like to explain what we're going to do this afternoon after church? This is our minister to you. Amen. And we're going to send you off with a prayer that this will be the best year you ever had in school in your life, because we just believe that the power of prayer will help you in ways you can't imagine. So again, that's immediately after service. Next Sunday is our family and friends day. That means we invite folks to come with us. Your classmates, your neighbors, your cousins, everybody. Invite whoever you can, co-workers. And then immediately after service, we're going to the Lake Arbor Golf Club for our annual church cookout. So we have prepared food. People have volunteered to bring certain items, desserts, potato salad. The men are going to provide all the meats. So again, we're inviting everyone immediately after church next Sunday to come to our annual church cookout. Amen? Amen. Now, we're leading up to September 28th, where we're having our Unity Day. That's where we're combining Men's Day and Women's Day for Unity Day. And our guest speaker at 3 o'clock is going to be the Episcopal Supervisor, Dr. Patricia Pam DeVoe. So that's the bishop's wife. She's going to be the speaker for our Unity Day. That's going to be at 3 o'clock, and it's going to be right here. Amen? Now, Brother Partlow has an announcement to make. And Sister Partlow, you want to say anything about our reading and our book club? But thank you.
But I came up here to present you together on behalf of the New Liberation and Church officers and family to say thank you first and foremost for being our pastor, and secondly, celebrating another.
Yes. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you, New Liv. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I had another birthday, y'all. Another birthday. But I'm thankful. Sister Parlo?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. That's okay.
Now, move forward, and those who did follow through, we'll see how well you fared, and we will respond accordingly. So just a reminder that next Friday, next Sunday, is the deadline.
Amen.
And, yes, sir. I'm not telling the prize. Go read it. Oh, okay. Well, I was handing them out. I'll see what I can do for you today. Okay? All right.
Thank you. Doesn't Sister Paula sound like an educator? Huh? Very succinct, to the point, but with enthusiasm. Right? Again, I'm praying that we will continue. You're actually giving me some ideas about Bible study. Because too many times people just come and want you to just pour into them. But Bible study ought to be where you work too. I got to spend hours preparing and outlining stuff and making sure it makes sense and having it in the right sequence, I think I ought to put some of that on y'all too. And we're actually starting our Bible study the first Wednesday in September. So, thank you, Sister Paula. You gave me some good ideas. It's going to be a participatory Bible study, not just me doing what I do. But, yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
I just want to remind everyone, all the parents, that there will be youth choir rehearsal this week, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, at Sister Hainsworth abode. So as many of you as can, please make arrangements to be there. All
right? So it's going to be at your house? Oh, Centel's. Wow. Okay.
Centel Hainsworth, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Wonderful. Am I forgetting anything? So immediately after service today, we're going to have our youth celebration, back to school, luncheon. Amen? Amen. Okay. At this time, we're going to have our offering. We have a brand new offering plate. A brand new offering plate. Don't look at the plate. Just, before we go, let's pray. Once again, eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for every blessing in our life. God, so often we take for granted what we have and what you have provided. But Lord, today we just come at this time where we give back to your church just a small portion of what we have been so richly blessed to have. As always, Lord, we ask that you will bless the gift and especially the giver. And God, especially those who don't have what they would like to give at this time, but we believe by faith that you will bless them where they can meet all of their needs according to your riches and glory and be in a better position to give back what you would have them to give. Then, God, we always ask that you will give our officers the godly integrity to only use these monies for the further upbuilding of your kingdom. We believe it's so, and we believe we would be blessed because of that. Now, again, bless the gift and the giver, but it's all to your honor, to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, at the direction of our beautiful usher, 26. We all please stand, because all things come from thee, O Lord.
All things come from thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee.
And our young people may be excused and join children's church, young people's church. Bye bye, baby. This morning, our scripture is taken from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. 2 Chronicles, chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And this is Paul, one of his letters to the Corinthian church. And Paul writes, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. They did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." I want to ask if you pray with me as I use the theme this morning. You have no idea. You have no idea. Again, eternal God, our Father, I stand before you and these people with hopefully what you have given me to say. I ask that you will speak to me and through me so that your people will receive an anointed blessing and you get the honor and the glory. And we believe it is already done by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have no idea. In all relationships, people do one of two things. Some people make you earn their love over time. Not necessarily a day or week. Sometimes it is years where people will love you because you got to earn it. Sometimes because of what they've been through in their lives, and sometimes they haven't never been taught how to love. But for some people, you have to earn their love, and it's going to be over some time. And then there are those people who just extend love to you. You won't even know. Matter of fact, sometimes they're so open with it, you don't even trust them. You think something's wrong. They got some kind of scheme going. But some people just overflow you with love because that's who they are. They're just wonderful, loving people. And you don't just become that, but God gives that gift of love, that spirit of love to you. Sometimes you only get one chance to win someone over for Christ. And I want to argue with you this morning that it will be because of the love that you extend to people more than anything else that you do. It's that love. I read our scripture this morning, and what I want to do is I share what I do with Bible study. And I learned this from Pastor Harold Hayes when we were in the Board of Examiners. When I read a scripture, I want to know what the scripture does not say. I know what it says because I'm reading it. But what does it not say when I read that scripture? When I read the scripture and it says, now, bro, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. Out of the most extreme trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able to give, even beyond their ability. So this poor Macedonian church, these people in Macedonia, they were having extreme trials and poverty, persecution and poverty. And I'm trying to paint a picture in your mind that these are the conditions that they lived under. Very difficult. I want you to think about some of the Christians who live in places like Haiti. Can you imagine what it must be like to live in a place like Haiti? Remember they had the earthquake a couple years ago? And that place is still not rebuilt because of corruption and theft and greed. All the millions of dollars that went down there still have not been given to the right people for the right reason. But imagine the people in Haiti deciding in the midst of this extreme trial and poverty, sending money to us here in liberation. Can you imagine that? Knowing that we're trying to rebuild our church, trying to find a place to live, we get some gifts of love from members from the people of Haiti. Yes. Can you imagine what that would be like? Haiti, in the midst of their rebuilding their cities, their home, they are taking the time to give to us. Hi, sweetie. That's what they're doing. And so this is what the Macedonian, so I don't know what was going on with the Corinthian church. They were always having trouble. That's why Paul was writing these letters to all of the different churches. The Ephesians, he was writing, always trying to help them, encourage them, give them more of what they needed. But he's using an example here of the Macedonian churches to encourage the Corinthian church to continue to grow and be strong. What does it not say? It doesn't say what was going on. Doesn't say if they were actually just giving money or what they were giving, but they gave above their ability to give. What makes somebody do that? Because in the world we live in today, ain't nobody trying to give out more than they have to. I mean, is it tax deductible? Who's it going to go to? Is it going to go to administrative costs or directly to the people? We got 100 questions when we give something to anybody. But these people gave because they just wanted. Matter of fact, Paul says they pleaded with him for the ability to give. How many of us beg somebody to have to do? Not only did they want to give, but they begged them, can we give? Can we give more? And I don't know if it was money, I don't know if it was food, I don't know what it was, because it doesn't really say what they gave. But it does say that they gave above their ability to give. My question is, what makes a person do that? In a world where we're all trying to get our own, right? I'm doing me. Remember that phrase about a year ago or 2 years ago? Rappers, Drake, I'm doing me. Everybody wants to get there. At the fool on reality TV, just to get their 15 minutes of fame. Everybody wants more for them. But these Macedonian churches wanted to give to whoever they could. So Paul is bragging about this Macedonian church giving more than their ability to give, even through their trials and their poverty. We don't want to give nobody nothing if we're having a hard time. But bro, you know, I would help you out, but my car note is late. My mortgage is behind. That's not what the Macedonian churches did. They were the people of Haiti, still deciding we want to give more than we can actually afford to give. New Live, we want our church to grow. We want folks to come flocking in here. I'm still believing that MV, Motor Vehicle Administration place, they're going to close that down. We're going to buy that and put our church there. I still believe it. Every time I come off of 214, I look at that place and I'm thinking, that's where we need to be. Shut that building down, put up a for sale sign, call me, we're going to be there. I just believe that's where we're going to be. But before we get there, we need to find out how people want to be a part of what we do. We can invite folks all we want. We can have the best website, we can have the social media, but until we do what the Macedonian churches did, ain't nobody coming. Ain't nobody coming. And what they did is says they, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. Before they gave anything, what they did was they first gave themselves to the Lord. And church, once you do that, everything in your life looks different. Everything tastes different, feels different. You hear things different, but you got to first give yourself to the Lord. I don't care how much you study the Bible. You can speak and talk backwards. You can lay hands on folks. You can do anything you want. But until you first give yourself to God, it won't matter. Because you won't see the world the way God wants you to see the world. You won't see people the way he wants you to see them. You won't feel what he wants us to feel. And that's what made a difference to the Macedonian church. They looked beyond what they had. Their need. They believed by faith God would meet all of their needs. That's why they were able to give more than they were able to. They didn't care about what their needs were. They believed by faith if God took care of the sparrows, he would take care of us. And when you meet people like that, you know there's a difference. You know it's God. You know it's not faith. When people are willing to go above and beyond what they can. I eulogized a brother from our old church on Friday. And I thought, that's the kind of man he was. He didn't have much, but what he had, he gave all the time. He had one leg. Sometimes that leg would fall off, yet he would still get up on a ladder. Somebody would call him in the middle of the night. He would get out of his bed. His wife would beg him, Kelsey, don't go. I know you're tired. He would get up out of his bed, go fix somebody's leaking drain, somebody's car broke down on the side of the road. It didn't matter. And usually it was at his own expense. You know how folks say, well, I ain't got, I'll hook you up tomorrow, next week. It never mattered to him. He would get up out of his bed in the middle of the night to go help somebody. And he didn't have what he needed. But he was just a blessing to other people because he understood God has been. I'm not worried about the world's standard of success. I'm worried about God's standard. And church, until we do that, we won't be successful for God. That's why that scripture was read on that day when people say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all of these things in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You didn't do this under my authority. You did it on your own. And that don't count in the kingdom. So, church, until we decide we're going to give ourselves totally to God, not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, not just when folks looking, but when we decide we're going to give ourselves totally to God, then everything will look different. Everything will see, you will see people, you won't just see a crackhead or somebody all tatted up, but you'll see a child of God in pain and hurting and needing what we have. Until you stop seeing somebody who's just an alcoholic, they cussing, they look funny, they dress, they got their pants sagging down, that's somebody who needs some direction. And they need some godly direction. But first and foremost, they need love. And until we're able to love everybody,
Not just the people who look like us, dress like us, sound like us, but the people who use profanity, every other word, they need love too. And that's hard because it just goes against everything we think we ought to have. It's hard to reach people that we don't think sound and look like us. I just wish they would stop cussing. They're homeless and they smell like pee. I don't want them sitting beside me. Definitely ain't gonna put them in my car and take them home. Maybe that's the very thing you need to do. That's why you have no idea the impact you have on some people. They're waiting for some Christian people to show them the love they can't get anyplace else. They don't get it in the street. They got a cup, they're sitting on the corner, they're begging people for what they need, and everybody's passing them down, looking down on them. And just maybe you're the one God sent to turn their life around. Not just with money. The master, we don't know what they gave. But what we know is they gave above the ability to give. How many people do we reach out to? How many people do we look for to be a blessing to? Now, if somebody gives us a school, some person in need, or we might contribute a few dollars, write a nice check. But I'm talking about going out looking for people. The Macedonian churches begged Paul for the opportunity to give to them. How many of us beg somebody, can I please help with you? Can you let me in on this one? Or we want to get on the good stuff. We want that nice invitation for the cookouts and all of that stuff. But I'm talking about when somebody's suffering. When we go to the hospital and just pray for folks. Call somebody up that hadn't had a call all week, all month. Finding opportunities to give to somebody, to pour into their life. If you're bored with being a Christian, try giving to other people. Call somebody who is in real need. We complain about our situation. Just call somebody else and find out what they're going through. No health insurance. Can you imagine that? There are people who had no health insurance, no income. What do? When they get sick? I mean, serious illnesses, cancer treatment, and they don't have the money to go to the hospital. What do you think they're supposed to do? Wouldn't that be a good time when we acted like the Macedonian church? Instead of raising money for ourselves, how about let's do something for somebody else? We don't need a slick website. We need some love. That's why when we say, this is the first and great commandment, that we love the Lord our God with all of our hearts on earth, and the second is like it, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. It's about love. He's not talking about money. He's talking about love. And when you love people, they respond. Years ago, I heard a minister say, people don't care how much you know until they know you care about them. Ain't nobody impressed with all this stuff. You can do all that holy-looking stuff you want to. You know how people always try to impress you with quoting scripture? Well, in Ephesians 6, 42 says, don't nobody care about that. What I want to know is if I'm hurting, do I have a shoulder? Will you at least listen to me? Will you offer me to come to your home for dinner? You know I ain't got no money. You know I'm gonna leave church today. I got no dinner to look forward to. I have to try to find some place to eat. And we could invite them. We could, but matter of fact, we got to go out there and find those people. And then God will begin to move and bless us. The Macedonian church figured that out. I don't know how, I don't know what took place, but they decided it would be better to be a blessing to other people. New Live, I asked you when I first got here, what is our reputation? What do people know us for? Are we a loving church? Is that what people know us for? Because sometimes we so organized. We got so much structure. We don't have an opportunity to be a blessing to nobody else. I don't care what else we offer. Until we begin to offer love to people who need it, who are hurting, who are lonely, and sometimes you don't know it because they dress nice. They got a nice expensive car. They got a great job. They got money. They live in one of them gated communities, and they're hurting on the inside. Rich people commit suicide just like poor people do. They get divorced. They become addicted to stuff just like everybody else. Because what we all need is godly love. And until we decide to do that, it won't matter. For some reason, the Macedonian church figured that out. My question to us is, can we figure that out today? We want these pews to be full. We want folks to come lined up trying to get in here. But what are they going to come to? What are they going to come to? There are a whole lot of churches that don't have a great choir. The preacher ain't no great preacher. They don't have a whole, like, some churches don't even have a building. They just rent space. So what are the people coming to? They're coming to love. That's why Jesus said before he left, this new command I give to you. Not that you raise money. Not that you have great buildings. Not that you do all this wonderful stuff. But that you love one another as I have loved you. Church, we have no idea the impact we can have if we just love people. Don't nobody care what kind of car you drive. Because they don't want to know. And you ain't gonna let them in your car. That ain't what's gonna impress nobody. Where you live at? You gotta call and get a code to get in. The security guard write your tag number down. Ain't nobody impressed with that. The nice clothes that you wear, Louis Vuitton, doesn't matter. All of that's nice. But what people need most is love. And until we learn to love people the way Paul is bragging about the Macedonian church, it won't matter. I believe, and I've said this before, there has never been a more confusing time in our society than we live in right now. The church is not the church we used to be. What we used to call sin, we don't call sin no more. What we used to call marriage, we don't call marriage no more. What we used to call love, we don't call love no more. We have got people completely confused about what God is supposed to represent. But every now and then, you're going to find a small remnant of people who will still teach and preach what thus saith the Lord. It ain't going to be popular. Church, I might end up even going to jail, if not at least going to court. Because I'm not going to stop preaching what the Bible says. Unfortunately, we got people who have decided to compromise so folks can come in, and those churches are full. But we're going to do it God's way, and we're going to do it with love. We're going to preach love. We're going to preach God's standards. We're going to preach marriage between a man and a woman. And that's what we're going to do. But we're going to love everybody. But we're not going to compromise on God's standards. And as long as we do that, I have no doubt. I'm not worried about success. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't need awards. I don't need any recognition. I just want the Lord to know we were faithful over a few things. And because of that, he will welcome us into his kingdom and not say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So it's not hard. It's real easy. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You don't have to do all this gimmick and crazy stuff if you just do what thus said to me. He said, love one another. We say it every Sunday. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Love thy neighbor as yourself. The Macedonian church understood that because how they learned that, they gave themselves to God, not to some pastor, not to some church, not to some organization, but they gave themselves to God. And when you give yourself to God, he will make you all you need to be. That's good news to me. You know, I shared with the church on Friday. I like to listen to people get awards. You know, the BET Award, NAACP, Image Awards, all of that stuff. And you know what the greatest award is for a preacher? When somebody asks you to preach their eulogy, they're asking you to say the last words in prayer over their life. They're already gone, but the fact that they ask you to say the last word over their life. I don't care how many trophies I got for playing basketball and other awards, nothing is more humbling. There were so many asked me, and I'm not even a pastor. I was so grateful and humble by that. And I thought, God, you have given me an opportunity to leave about 400 people with something special. And it's always the same message. Love your neighbor as yourself. But this time, it's because we must first give ourselves to God. We got crazy kinds of love in the world today. God is talking about the kind of love that he gave us. He says, love them as I have loved you. That's what I want us to do, new men. We don't need no slip schemes to get people to come here. We just have to love people. But like the Macedonian church, we have to go out and find people to love. They're not going to come to Ernest Just Middle School. We got to go out there and love them. And we got to find where they are and meet them like they are, wherever they are. I told you before, sometimes they're going to be tatted up. They're going to have crazy haircuts. Whatever they have, we got to love them because we got to see them the way God sees them. Not through our eyes, but we have to see them the way God sees them and watch God perform a miracle. You have no idea what God could do for you. That's why the Bible says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. He can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Can you imagine that? Immeasurably more than we could ever. And he said, greater things shall you do than what you saw me do. Than what we waiting on. What we waiting on. The only thing holding us back is our ability to love everybody. You have no idea what God can and wants to do through us if we would first give ourselves to him and then give ourselves to the people who are in need. Church, let's stand. Yesterday was my birthday, and I am proud to say I am 59 years old. And I've learned a lot in my life. And what I learned is that love makes all the difference. Don't nobody care what you have. Don't nobody care where you've been. They don't care what you've done. They don't care what you accomplished. You can have the $1 million job or you can be unemployed. In the eyes of God, we're all the same. It makes a difference when you give yourself to the Lord. Paul persecuted the Christians. He had them killed. He got a letter from the governor and had the Christians killed. Then he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And he became one of the greatest apostles the world has ever known. Why? Because he had a real encounter with God. I want to ask you just a simple question. If you still see the world the way you did before you got saved, then just maybe your encounter hasn't been what you thought it was. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying when you have an encounter with God, you see the world differently. You see people differently. And if you still see the world and people the same as you did before you got saved, maybe you need another encounter with the Holy Spirit. That's what this invitation is about today. We're trying to save souls, church. We're trying to change lives and communities. And we're not going to do this with some slick marketing plan. We can spend all the money we want on signs and websites and all of that stuff. But until we start from within with the love of Christ and we extend it to people before they deserve it. I say this every week. You have to love people the most when they deserve it the least. And that ain't easy. You can't do it on your own. You have to have the Holy Spirit in you to love people when they don't deserve it. Matter of fact, they don't even want it. But I'll ask you again. If you still see the world and people the way you did before you got saved, then just maybe you need another encounter with the Holy Spirit. Anybody here today need that? You tired of seeing the world with a critical eye? Instead of with a hurting eye. They're hurting. They're confused. They've been lied to. If you've been watching church on TV, you don't know what the real gospel is anymore. You listen to the news or laws that they're passing, they don't know what the true gospel is. Somebody has to take the true gospel to them. So they're not going to get it on TV. And unfortunately, in a lot of churches they go to, they're not getting the true gospel to. But we have to take that wherever we find people who need the gospel. Anybody here today want to change their life? You have no idea what God can do. No idea. The things he can do with you, through you, to you, so that the people in around you will be different and better. I don't know what my legacy is going to be with my children and my grandchildren, but what I do know is I want them to know Pop was faithful. That's what I want them to know. I may have shared with you years ago, something happened years ago, my son, after we were selling our house in Super, in Temple Hills, and my wife and son were upstairs and prepared for somebody to come to the house. And my wife says, I bet he going to show them something that was wrong down in the basement. And my son said, Mom, you know Dad, he ain't going to lie. And I thought, that's the greatest compliment my son could have ever given to me. Even if it cost us the sale of our home, he knew his father wasn't going to lie. And he never realized what a compliment that was to me, that he knew, even if it meant not getting as much for the house as we could have, his dad wasn't going to lie. That's the legacy I want to have, but what's more important is what God thinks of me. And I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful. Don't you want to hear that? Don't you want to hear? I mean, that's the only thing that's going to get us there. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Anybody here want to hear that? Anybody need an encounter with the Holy Spirit? Not with me, but with the Holy Spirit. Let's all pray. Oh, eternal God, our Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share a word on your behalf. God, I thank you that your word always goes forward and never ever returns to you void. God, I just ask that everybody who heard what you had to say will be different and better and more committed, God, to love as the Macedonian church loved. God, we still don't know what it was that they gave. It doesn't matter. But what we're going to do is to give whatever we can to be a blessing so they will feel the love of Christ in all that we do. God, before we even ask you to let our church grow, let us give ourselves to you. And you do whatever you need to do to make us the men and the women, the boys and girls that you want here at New Liberation. We thank you, God, for what you've done today, but especially what you're going to do in the future. We claim it all done by and as always by the power of the blood and the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and believe it. And to that we say amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? You take your seats. Take your seats. My girl talked to me the whole time. The whole time. In case you didn't notice, she's now taking like 6 or 7 steps. So it's about to be on at our house. So anytime you want to come over, you can gladly come and help us out. I am more encouraged than ever before about what God is going to do with our church. But we got to do it the right way. You don't call. You know when a lot of churches, larger churches, build churches, you know they hire marketing strategists. And they tell them what colors make people want to give to feel generous. The carpet colors, the paint on the wall, the color of the pews. You know they do that? In business, they do that to make people feel certain things. There's certain colors that are warmer. Certain colors make you feel more assertive. And so churches are doing that now. When they built the temples, the synagogues, they asked God, or God would tell them, I want this kind of wood. I want this kind of gold. I want this kind of stuff. He would give them specific dimensions of what he wanted his temple to be. Now we call marketing strategists instead of seeking God for what we want. That's not the church of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be different. He wants us to be set apart. That's what we have been anointed to do, to be separate from the world. He says, come out from among. We have to live with them, but we don't have to be and act like them. I know it won't be popular, but I ain't trying to be popular. I could care less about being popular, even though my preacher, pastor friends, I want to do it God's I want God to be. That's what he is. What? I ain't trying to hear you. Are we having young people church in Minister Jackson? So, but I understand. I do understand. I appreciate it. Okay, young man.
Well, today at Children's Church, we learned
thank you. Thank you.